Well, good morning. It's good to hear all the conversation going on this morning. I just want to welcome you in the powerful name of Jesus. Welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning, and those watching via the live stream. Just welcome. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? We're here this morning thirsting to commune with God. So just come this morning and receive. Allow God to just be with you and fill you with His love this morning. Whatever the situation you're facing in your life right now, just come and worship God. Just lay everything down at His feet and worship Him. Worship Him for His goodness and His mercy and His love. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are here to worship You. Come and meet with us. Come draw us closer to You. Speak to our hearts and our souls this morning. Fill us with assurance of Your love. Receive our worship of You. Let it be a pleasing aroma to You. Just help us to share our hearts with You this morning and not just go through the motions. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Well, I would invite you all to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
You are my King.
time, I would invite the ushers to come forward as we take this morning's offering, which is for the Bishop Support Fund. And there's also the My Coins count up here for the kids.
Yeah. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that you poured out upon us, Lord. We turn these tithes and offerings back over to you, Lord, that you would multiply them like the loaves and fishes, Lord. We pray specifically for the offering this morning for our current and previous bishops, Lord, that this money would take care of their physical needs, Lord. And we thank you for their faithfulness to you, Lord, that they responded to your calling on their lives, Lord, to lead the churches in this area, to guide the pastors and the people that are part of those churches, Lord. And we pray a special blessing upon them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. God, you reign.
guys. Thank you for this morning. We can all be here together to worship you. And I just want to pray for Tony this morning that you would speak through him and give him the words to say and that you prepare our hearts to hear from you this morning. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. So good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? You guys look awake. That's definitely a good thing. So the message in a little bit is going to be on the Lord's Prayer. So that's when Jesus taught his disciples and us how to pray. So I have a bunch of questions here for you. Then I'm going to do some scripture reading, okay? So who created the earth? God did, yeah. Who created the sky? God did. Who created the oceans and the fish? See, you're catching on. Who created the birds and the animals? God did, yes. Who created people? God did. That means God created everything, right? Yeah? And everything is His. Do you know that? He owns everything. See, He put us here to take care of His creation and what He made. And when we pray, Your kingdom come, we're telling God that He owns everything. We're saying, God, You own it because it is Yours. Here's an example. If I lost my phone, if I lost this, whose phone would it be? It's still mine, right? Doesn't matter that I lost it or someone else found it or whatever. It's still my phone. No matter where it is, it's still mine, okay? That's just like God owns everything. Everything is His. He is the owner. So I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer because that's what our sermon series is on. Yes? That's true. My phone is His because He owns everything. I'm just a steward of it. That means I'm not supposed to break it or supposed to make it last as long as possible. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, Your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So remember that God owns everything. God created everything, including you. So I'd like to have a prayer for you guys, and then you can have a snack and go back to your seat. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, just thank You for these children. Pour a blessing upon them. Help them to understand who You are in a personal way and have a relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack there and head back to your seats.
Share about a couple things in our church life here that are coming up, just to highlight them, and it segued in pretty well with Tony's children's story this morning. The first one is Stewardship University. In your mailboxes last week, you should have gotten a flyer for Stewardship University. We didn't do this last year. Evanston put it on, but they're putting it on again this year. So on March 5th of this year at Calvary Church, they will be holding Stewardship University. There's more information in this pamphlet. If you lost it, throw it out. Talk to me. I'll get you another copy of it, too. It's $39 for the day, but there's a couple ways that you can get a discount. If you register early by February 9th, and if you register online, you get another $5 off. So total of $10 off if you register early and you register online. So if you have any questions on that, please see me, and I'd be glad to help you out with that. The other program that I wanted to highlight that's been going on now for over 40 years here at Bowmansville is the Christian Education Sharing Plan. This was something that was started back in the 80s to help parents who were sending their children to Christian schools to help offset some of the cost of the tuition. So part of this is to say, if you are parents of a school-aged child, please sign up for this. We'd be glad to help you out with the cost of sending your children to a Christian school. The other part is to say thank you. This church has been very supportive of this program, and we are on our second generation now. I went to a Hinkletown, to a Mennonite school, and now my children are continuing that as well. So thank you on behalf of everyone that is part of this program to the church body. We appreciate your support as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. My family has definitely benefited from the Christian Ed Sharing Fund as well. It has been a blessing to us over the years. This morning, Clarence Martin went home not feeling well, so I'd like to pause right now to have a prayer for him. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will be with Clarence, just bring healing to his body from whatever is ailing him. I just pray that he will have a speedy recovery and not feel any ill effects. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again. Teresa and I would like to thank you for your prayers and your words of encouragement over the last weeks. We appreciate them very much. And so, as a church, we sent words of encouragement to Peter and Christy as they were in France studying language to further go into mission. And they send us a card, so I'm going to read that for you. It has some pictures of their children in it, and one of them colored a picture for us. Dear Bowmansville Mennonite Church family, thank you so much for the package full of cards and notes. What an encouragement to us as we celebrated Christmas in a new place. May God bless you all in the new year, with lots of love from France, Peter, Christy, Moses, Celeste, and Felix. So your notes and words of encouragement that you send out are very important. Well done. Keep it up. I'd also like to pray for them, because we had a prayer request go through our phone tree hotline, and Peter and Christy are studying French to go to West Africa, and they're planning two exploratory trips to find out where God is leading them and to where they should go. Some of their children are dealing with COVID and are recovering, but I'd like to spend a minute in prayer for them. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the willingness of Peter and Christy and their children to follow your call on their lives. They're dealing with COVID, and I ask you, Father, to bring healing to Moses and Celeste and bring full recovery. Put a hedge of protection around the rest of the family. Keep the virus from spreading. Lord, as they plan to travel to West Africa, show them which area they should go to. Just help them to be able to get tests so that they can go, and I pray that those tests would be negative so that their trip does not have to be delayed. I ask for peace upon them. And I just pray that their plans will come together smoothly and easily. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our sermon series that Pastor Larry started a few weeks ago. He started with Our Father in Heaven. Then the next Sunday we had a weather Sunday where we didn't have church. And then we had our 100-year celebration. And Larry has prepared a sermon for the Sunday where we didn't have a message because of weather. So instead of reorganizing the whole preaching schedule, we're just going to stay on schedule, and Larry's going to combine two messages into one, so you want to bring a snack for that Sunday because it could be really long. Your kingdom come is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And what does that mean? We're going to look at this from a couple different directions, what it means to pray, your kingdom come, like Jesus taught his disciples and us. God created everything in the beginning. Everything is his. He made it. He made the stars, the planets, the earth, the sky, the seas, the land, the animals, and he made man. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed a man from the dust and the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Everything is God. Life comes from God. The world around us says that you can build your kingdom any way you want. The wealthiest people in the world do what they want when they want. The world seems like it's theirs. Yet you don't have to be rich and famous to fall into this trap. I have power because of my position. I control you. This is my house. This is my job, my new car, my power. Mine, mine, mine. But it's not true. Nobody controls or owns anything outside of what God has allowed us to have. We are stewards of God's things. They are not ours. They are God's. So we're going to spend time in the book of Daniel today, and we're going to look at the world from two different sides. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar came in with a mighty army and laid siege to Judah. He conquered them and carried many people back to Babylon. He had so much power and wealth that he built a 90-foot tall statue made of gold, and he made everybody bow down to it. Just for some size comparison, here is Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil. That's 92 feet tall. It just gives you an idea how tall this golden statue was and how much wealth the king had. And the people who did not bow down to him were thrown into a blazing furnace because they stood up against the king and against his power, and they were punished for what they did. In Daniel 2:37, listen to what Nebuchadnezzar has. He has sovereignty, he has power, he has strength, and he has glory. He is ruler over people wherever they live, animals, even the birds of the sky. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of wealth. He's a very powerful king. Listen to the interpretation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. Here's what Daniel says in chapter 4, verse 22. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, whose top reached to the sky and was visible to the whole earth, and whose leaves are beautiful and its fruits abundant. And on it was food for all. Under it wild animals lived, and in the branches the birds of the sky lived. That tree is you, your majesty, for you have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown even reaches to the sky, for your dominion extends to the ends of the earth. His kingdom was vast and powerful. Nothing was beyond his reach. And I was focusing on just small parts of Scripture there, just to show you how much power he had. So we're going to step back and look a little wider at the picture. And we're going to start in Jeremiah 25, verses 8 to 10. Therefore, this is what the Lord of armies says, because you have not obeyed my words, I am going to send for all the families of the north, this is the Lord's declaration, and send for my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and I will bring them against this land, against its residents, and against all these surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an example of horror and scorn. And ruins forever. I will eliminate the sound of joy and gladness from them. The voice of the groom and the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. God is passing judgment on Judah. He is sending Nebuchadnezzar to take them captive. So all that power that Nebuchadnezzar had, whose is it? Is it his? Or is it God's? This is where the struggle is. Is it man's or is it God's? So we're going to look back in Daniel. The first dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had was the statue of different materials. And each material represented a different kingdom. I'm going to read all of Daniel 2, verse 37, where I only read small parts before. Your majesty, you are the King of kings. The God of heavens has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and glory. Makes a big difference when you add that other little piece of the verse in. The God of heavens has given you. God is revealing where the king's power is from. It is God. God is giving him the power, the authority, the strength, and the wealth. It's not himself. His power didn't come from himself. It is from God. So looking at Daniel 3, we're looking at the fiery furnace. What happened when the three men were thrown into the fire? God intervened and saved their lives. God stepped in and saved them. So Daniel 3, 24 to 27. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm and he said to his advisors, "Did we throw three men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, your majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see four men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approaches the door of the furnace of blazing fire and called, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around them, they saw that the fire had no effect on them, on their bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads was singed. Their robes were unaffected. There was no smell of the fire on them. They came out of the fire unharmed. There wasn't a hair singed on them, and there wasn't even the smell of smoke. You don't have to sit around a campfire very long to get the smell of smoke in your clothing and in your hair, and it takes forever for it to go away. It's just amazing how God stepped in and showed his power to the king. The king does go on and make a proclamation about what God had done. Listen to what chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 say. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, nation, language who live on the whole earth, may your prosperity increase. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders the Most High God has done for me. How great are his miracles, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. The king is acknowledging God, his power, his might, and his authority. Yet when you keep reading, you can see that King Nebuchadnezzar is still missing something. There's still something missing. He sent out this proclamation, yet there's something missing. And you have this next dream that he had about the tall tree, this tree that reached to the sky where people and animals would take shelter under. The tree is then cut down. This tree is an example of his kingdom. It had a mighty, vast kingdom that reached everywhere, and yet his kingdom was taken from him. Yet a stump will be left, because when the time is up that God had decreed, Nebuchadnezzar would receive his kingdom back. The king would live in the fields and eat grass like wild animals. And only after he acknowledged that God is king and ruler of every kingdom will he receive his kingdom back. In chapter 4, verses 28 to 31. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. The king exclaimed, "Is this not Babylon the Great that I have built to be a royal residence for my vast power and for my majestic glory?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven came, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you." The king was boasting, "Look at what I have built. Look at my power. Look how great my kingdom is that I have made." Didn't take long for him to be exiled and to be living in a field eating grass like cattle. Yet when the time came that God had decreed, Nebuchadnezzar's sanity came back to him, and he honored God differently than he did before. He saw that God has dominion over everything. His kingdom is from generation to generation. It has no end. And God is the king of heaven and earth. God was showing the king who has ownership over everything. Was it Nebuchadnezzar or was it God? It was God. And it wasn't until he acknowledged that God is owner of everything did his life change. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are saying to God that he is the owner of everything. And we relinquish ownership and power and authority, and we give credit to God. Jesus was the perfect example of this. He came as a baby. He did his Father's will. He gave up ownership over his life, going to the cross and dying for our sin. Jesus gave up his seat at the right hand of God for a stable. and a cross and a tomb to bring God's kingdom to earth. So we're going to look at a different direction and a couple of my first thoughts. Yeah, my first thoughts are at the end, but that's how it kind of all meshed together and worked out. The Israelites were waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years for the Messiah to come to earth, to be king. He would bring his kingdom and rule. They would be free. When Jesus the Messiah came to earth, he started to usher in God's kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus was bringing wasn't what the people thought, though. They thought it would be an earthly kingdom that would push out Roman occupation of Israel. This idea was turned upside down when Jesus went to the cross and then to the grave for our sins. That kingdom that Jesus brought is a heavenly and earthly kingdom. Not just an earthly kingdom. It is both. Jesus came to give us a way to be with the Father, a way to be righteous again and be forgiven, not by sacrifice, but by belief in Jesus, by faith in Jesus. And God also gave us His Holy Spirit to live in us. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. How much closer can you get to having God's kingdom than having the Holy Spirit living in you? But we have to choose to follow the Holy Spirit and give control over to Him. He won't take it. We have to give it. So now in our timeline, we're waiting for Jesus, the Messiah, to return and reign as King. He is going to bring His heavenly kingdom to earth. Revelations 21:9-12. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Then he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Arrayed with God's glory, her radiance was like a precious jewel, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel's sons were inscribed on the gates. Just picture the final kingdom coming to earth. This massive city where Jesus' followers will get to spend eternity with Him. It's 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles deep, and 1,400 miles tall. That's massive. It's kind of hard to understand how big that is. So at my house, I can go get in my car, and I can drive to Colby, Kansas, because that's about 1,400 miles. So just picture the United States, and you'd have to drive all the way to halfway through Kansas before you get to 1,400 miles. That's how amazing God's kingdom will be. God's final kingdom is coming to earth where there is no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more sin. The sun doesn't even need to shine in the city because the glory and the light of God and Jesus will fill the place. This kingdom is longed for thousands of years. So just picture this. Just like the city is coming down in this picture, Jesus came to earth to save it. God created the world and man. Jesus returning to reign as King. The job I have, the correction I'm receiving from God, everything I have worked for. Just visualize these things coming down from God and His kingdom coming, passing from God to us. It's what it means to pray, Your kingdom come. Lots of times we have this end game view of Jesus returning and the city coming down, like in this picture. It's kind of a lifelong focus. So how can we live a life daily with a Your kingdom come focus? Well, every day we can open our grip on our world and our life, giving control to God for Him to work in us. We can give back the ownership that we feel we have, give it back to God. Allow Him to work. That way we don't end up like Nebuchadnezzar, eating grass in a field like cattle, being humbled. That's what God was doing when Nebuchadnezzar was in the field. He was humbling him, showing him that God was in control. Maybe every day we need to verbalize it. Just say it out loud. God, thank You for my job. It is from You. Thank You for this career. It is from You. Thank You for the position of power that I'm in. It is from You. It is not from me. Thank You for this house I live in. It is from You. It is not from me. And it takes that focus away from this mine mentality. And it takes our grip off of everything we're trying to hold on to. So in closing, we need to release ownership of every part of our lives back to God. We need to allow Him to reign in us and through us. Can you imagine how much easier life would be if we truly saw everything as God's, in every situation, good and bad, that it's God's? I don't need to worry about it. It's God's. See, we can trust and stand on His promise from Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We can stand on that promise that no matter what, God is going to work it for His good. It would be amazing and freeing to know that even in a bad situation, God will work it for good in the end. All because we turned everything over to Him. We relinquished control. We gave Him ownership of what is truly His and not trying to hang on to it ourselves. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You are the owner of everything. There is nothing that we have that is not from You. Help us to open our grasp on our world, releasing it to You. Give us sight to see Your kingdom come daily in our lives so that we can be a witness for You. We are waiting to be with You in Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fill the Lord.
I'd like to bring your attention to page 2 of your bulletin. The announcement about the Valentine's banquet, I'll read it. The youth group invites everyone to the annual Valentine's banquet. It's going to be held on Saturday, February 12th, 2022, here at the church at 6 o'clock. Following the meal, we will gather upstairs here for a fun program. And that program includes singing, games, skits, a round of Jeopardy, I think. So it's going to be a good time. Please sign up on the papers in either foyer if you plan to come to the meal. I checked this morning, and there are papers out there, one on this table out here and one down below, and they're among other sign-up things. I think I saw something for Secret Sisters and some other papers, so you might have to hunt a little bit, but they're there. So please sign up so that we know how much food to prepare. Sign-up deadline is February 6th. You do not need to sign up if you come only for the program upstairs. As long as we can all fit in here, we don't care how many people come to that. But we want to know how many people are coming if you're coming to eat so we know how much food to prepare. There's no charge, but we are going to have an offering, and the money received will support the summer service project. So we hope to see you there.
Thank you, Brian. I do have an announcement for you to check your mailboxes. Your year-end offering statements are in your mailboxes, so if you got your mail really early, please go and check your mailbox again, because you'll have some extra stuff in there. So just want to bring that to your attention. Will you stand for the parting benediction? 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.